Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 17th. I'm Ray Graff. We talk travel today, and we welcome back Gene Gagnon of Plaza Travel Center in Latham, New York. If you have a question about any travel destination or accommodations, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551, or email, if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org for your emails, and that's voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. The one, the only, Gene Gagnon is with us today. So on your mark, get set, get out of town. We'll tell you how to do it after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's travel day today, and we're joined by certified travel counselor Gene Gagnon. Gene is the president of Plaza Travel Center, a woman-owned business since 1969. The Institute of Certified Travel Agents awarded Gene the designation of certified travel counselor in 1985. Gene was an adjunct instructor of travel and tourism at University College of Syracuse University and Schenectady County Community College. At Plaza Travel, Gene specializes in VIP travel, custom planning, international itineraries, and group travel. The number to call is 800-348-2551 if you have a travel question. 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org or 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Ray. Thanks.
Where are you headed now?
Nowhere over the summer.
Really?
No.
Laying low, eh?
Yeah. I'm busy working, but in October, I'm going to be going to Japan and Korea.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What takes you there? You're doing a tour?
Yeah, I'm going to, me and my 20 new best friends, whoever wants to come with me. But the interesting thing is when we do this extra part into Seoul, we're going to meet with a Korean defector. We're going to visit the DMZ zone. I am so excited.
So you're going to the DMZ zone.
Well, we'll probably be near it.
Be careful.
I will.
I believe the North Koreans are sending balloons filled with garbage and human excrement.
I'll be very careful, Ray.
Bring an umbrella is all I can tell you. The number here is 800-348-2551. How long does it take to fly from Northeast, you're not flying out of Albany, to Japan?
Well, we're on a nonstop.
Really?
Yeah. Out of Newark.
Wow.
And it's going to be about 15 to 16 hours.
And you fly first class?
Yeah, right.
No?
No. The travel industry is not we operate on a very low profit margin.
Well, wait a minute now, though, but isn't it uncomfortable to sit 15 hours? I mean, I've not been in a plane in 23 years,
right. Okay?
But they're not the most. They're a little cramped.
Right. So I was on a nonstop flight from Newark to Johannesburg, which was 15 hours last October. And, yes, it was uncomfortable. And I was tossing and turning, and I couldn't sleep, and I'm swearing. Why am I doing this? But then eventually doze for an hour or two, and then it was done. It's not like you have to do it every day of the trip.
Shouldn't you take a boat?
No. Too long.
Take about a month, right?
I don't think quite that long, but it would, yeah.
I think you should do. If you do one of those, I might be all in. Okay.
No trains, though.
No,
right?
Well, there's no trains yet.
Right.
The number here is 800-348-2551. We'll start with an email at voxpop@wamc.org. This is from Shelley in New Hampshire. Hello, Shelley in New Hampshire. Shelley says, any tips for vacationing at Myrtle Beach? Friends are going there this summer. Just them, no kids. Good plan, Shelley. Very good plan. What do you think?
Well, I've been to Myrtle Beach, and a beautiful beach.
Yeah.
I think Myrtle Beach itself is kind of crowded. That's where the boardwalk is. That's where all the rides are and the shops and things like that. North Myrtle Beach is a little quieter. I really liked it there. Years ago, we rented a house there.
Yeah.
And it's great with kids or without kids.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Well, you know, there are a lot of teeny boppers and stuff having fun, right?
Well, yeah, and I think you're going to find that more on Myrtle Beach proper than you would in some place like North Myrtle Beach, because that's a little more residential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, this one's from Mike in Saratoga. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org if you have a travel question for Gene Gagnon, or you can call us, 800-348-2551. Mike says, I'm planning to fly to Italy in mid-August 2025. When is the best time to begin checking prices to get the best deals? And let me just try the Gene Gagnon. Last week. No.
Okay. But I love Mike. I love Mike from Saratoga because he's thinking the right way. He's planning ahead. So, no, you want to do that 330 days prior to your return trip.
Okay.
That's when the reservations will be open. That's such a good idea because you can save so much money.
Well, you save, the earlier you go, the more you save?
Yes.
How do you know there's not some last minute deal?
Because they happen so rarely, especially to Italy in August. Every single flight is going to be full.
Yeah.
So why would they have it on sale?
I don't know.
It makes no sense.
All right.
It makes no sense.
Sorry.
That's okay, right? But this is the thing.
All right.
I want Mike to know that there are three things that we tell people going to Europe in the summer. One thing is we say it's going to be hot. The other thing we say is it's going to be crowded. And the other thing we say is your rooms are probably going to be a lot smaller than you're used to. They just don't have they don't have rooms there mostly that have like two queen beds.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They're
a lot smaller. And I'm so strict on that. I actually now tell people, don't come back and tell me it was hot or crowded or the rooms were small. Because I'm telling you this now.
You know what?
You can't believe how crowded it is. If he can go at any other time, I highly recommend he not go in August.
So it's tough love from Gene Gagnon here for,
yes,
for the clients.
Yes, it is.
Now listen to me, bucko. I'll tell you one thing.
You know, they call us, Ray, and they want our experience.
Right.
I have been doing this for 50 years.
50 years?
That's a long time.
I didn't even know
time.
You were 50 years old.
Oh, thank you.
Good for
I love you. I love you now, too. But, and they want our advice, and we tell them, and then they don't listen to it. It's very frustrating because I want people – I tell people I don't sell travel. I share travel because I love travel so much.
For a price.
Well, everything comes at a price.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So stipulated. Go ahead.
Well, I want people to have the best experience they can have.
Right.
That's
so there's
all.
An education involved in what
Absolutely.
You do as well.
Absolutely.
All right, fair enough. Let's grab one call before we take a break. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon from Plaza Travel Center is here to answer your questions about travel predictably. David in Poughkeepsie. David, you're on.
Hi. I was wondering if you have any recommendations about airline consolidators for getting less expensive business or first-class fares, whether you've had good or bad experience with those?
Well, to be quite honest, we used to use consolidators quite a bit. I'm talking maybe 10, 15 years ago. But with the advent of the airlines, you know, really offering very good, inexpensive fares if you book far enough ahead of time, we haven't had quite the need for them. However, if you're doing something closer to the last minute and you can't get any other better fares, it's not a bad thing to look at, but you've just got to be so careful. You've got to stay on top of, you know, make sure you're double-checking your confirmations, make sure you're double-checking that you were charged the right amount on your credit card. I actually had someone, a client who called me the day before she was supposed to travel to Detroit, saying she was panicking because she couldn't find any kind of receipt that she had a ticket, and she thought she had bought it, and she hadn't.
Ouch.
And it was the day before, and she was really stuck, and the company just didn't run the ticket for her. There's no liability there because they never ended up charging her. So you just got to be super, super careful because sometimes you just don't know what you don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Thanks a lot. Now, when you fly, especially on a long flight, do you ever take your belt off? I mean, I've seen some horrendous things where people are flying around. They end up in luggage overheads and things like that.
You do so many shows, you probably don't remember, which is fine. That's, totally understandable.
I don't remember yesterday's show, so let's just move on.
So 2 months ago, after there was that disaster in the skies where a gentleman unfortunately passed away, we did discuss the seatbelt situation.
Was it a good conversation?
It was great.
Really?
It was great.
Okay.
You were sharp, right?
Wow,
you were sharp.
I'll be darned.
But it was really important for people to realize that you don't take off your seatbelt unless you absolutely have to. You have to get up and go to the bathroom or something.
Okay, but okay. All right. Now, I asked you about first class earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
First class, some of these have bedrooms, for God's sake.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you could.
What do you strap in when you lie down?
Yeah.
Well, it's ridiculous.
It's not.
It's like a hospital bed.
No, you put it loosely around your waist.
Okay.
You know, you've probably had a drink or two, and you're probably not going to.
You mean right now? Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Gene Gagnon is our guest. It's travel, and we've only just begun. But first, it's happy nappy time and some beautiful music. Yes, Gene Gagnon in the first class bed, strapped in high over the ocean, sleeping nicely. It's a travel today, 800-348-2551. That's the number if you have a travel question. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Here's one from Marie. You mentioned making reservations for Italy 330 days prior to your return date. Does the same apply to Brazil? We're planning Brazil in July of 2025.
Yes.
Okay, so that would be August, that would, depending on how long they're there.
Right.
You'd make that call.
Yeah, you want to look at that. So I can give you kind of an example. Someone in my office was traveling to Paris in March, this past March, and they made their reservation 330 days ahead of time. And they ended up getting the lowest possible fare. It had actually almost tripled.
Wow.
By the time it was 2 months ahead of time.
So if you make a mistake with your calculations and you do it 331 days?
It just won't come up.
Interesting.
It won't come up. You'll actually try to put those dates either on, I have an airline computer, but if you went online and tried to do it, it would say that it was too soon. Now, 330 days prior, that is for most legacy carriers.
Well, what does that mean?
United, American, British Airways, right. Somebody like Southwest, they have their own schedule. They don't book out 330 days prior.
How long do I don't want to be specific about Southwest.
Right. No, but there are some others as well that they don't book out until maybe 5 or 6 months ahead of time.
And why do they break from tradition?
Well, I think it's a cost savings measure. Yeah. You know, when you think about it, it's probably easier not to book out that far.
Yeah.
I would think so.
All right. This is from Andrew. What are the rules for traveling domestically with a minor that is not your child? I wanted to invite my nephew, who is 8, to Disney World without his parents. Are there any special things that I need to do to travel with him without the child's biological parents?
Absolutely.
Okay, what do you got?
You need a notarized letter signed by both parents giving you the authority to travel with the child.
Okay.
If it was me, I would also get photocopies of their, photo ID showing that the signature on that was the same.
Yeah.
If it was me, I would also get a notarized letter authorizing me to administer or bring him to any kind of medical facility.
Yeah.
You know, you really want to be safe. I would also get travel insurance just in case. And it doesn't even have to be because of something life-threatening. Somebody, you know, a kid can, you know, fall and break his arm or something. You want to be able to handle all of that. But absolutely. And even if the one of the biological parents has passed away, you have to bring a copy of their death certificate.
Oh, that's crazy talk.
It's really not, because people will lie and take kids where they're not supposed to take kids.
I suppose so. I mean, even if you drive to Canada, that's the case, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
This is from Ava. I heard your advice about not traveling to Europe in the summer. Unfortunately, I don't have any wiggle room on my plans, and I'll be going to Munich for a long weekend for Labor Day. Any advice from me? I'm a first-time traveler to Europe who has flights and lodging already booked. And that's from Ava.
All right, so Ava, you're going to Munich for a long weekend. Munich won't be, it'll still be crowded, but it's not as bad as going to Rome and trying to see the Vatican in the middle of the summer or something like that. But I would recommend that you try to figure out if there's anything that you want to see in Munich that might require any kind of advance booking. If you want to do a walking food tour, or if you want to do a museum tour, you know, you want to book those ahead of time because things will be busy.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. No. I've actually had people not be able to see things that they wanted to see because they were sold out.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard this, and it doesn't make sense to me. I heard that Oktoberfest over there is actually in September.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
Why?
I do not know.
Shouldn't they change the name?
I would think so.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Dave's in Tivoli. Dave, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was just wondering about if you know anything about the Trans-Canada Railway that's touted as a vacation trip.
Oh, yeah. It would.
Go ahead, Gene.
Well, I was going to say it's beautiful, number one. It is not inexpensive if you want to get accommodations. Okay, the accommodations are very, very expensive. But it's a beautiful ride, especially once you get to the Jasper, Banff, Lake Louise area, and then to Vancouver. That's when you're really going through the Rockies.
Yeah.
That's incredibly beautiful. Now, if somebody wanted to actually shorten it up, if they didn't have time to do the whole thing, they could actually fly, let's say, from Albany to
Nova Scotia
to Calgary.
No, why should go that route?
Fly to Calgary, do the rail, even though I would prefer you do. Actually, I'd prefer you fly from Albany to Vancouver.
Interesting.
Do the rail eastbound and then end up.
Why?
Because what I usually recommend is people start at, it's all beautiful, but start at something that you're going to build up to. Mm. So building up to Banff and Lake Louise, that's incredibly beautiful. That's the way I would do it. For example, if you were going to go see the national parks out west, I would say start with Yellowstone, then go to,
Not Yellowstone in Canada.
No. I'm talking about in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
If you were going to...
Understood.
You know, the national parks.
I'll follow. I'll take notes.
Okay. And end in Glacier National Park because it's so spectacular. So Yellowstone's beautiful. Then you go up to the Grand Tetons, which is even
beautiful.
More incredible.
I've seen those, yeah.
And then you go to Glacier National Park. Boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want to do the reverse.
Okay.
So that's why if you were going to go, I would go, if you were only going to do the part between Vancouver and Calgary, I would go from Vancouver to Calgary.
What do you think, Dave?
I was wondering about that because across the middle of Canada, it's pretty flat.
Exactly.
You know, lately, it looks like it's extremely hot up there. I've seen some weather temperature scales there, and it's like, wow, that'd be pretty rough just going through the flatland with that.
Right, and plus the other thing, with the last couple of years, the way they are, I don't know that you want to do it in the summer because of wildfires.
Yeah.
The season for wildfires is June through August.
Oh, yeah.
So if it was me, I would try to do it either, you know, into the fall or early spring.
Dave, if you do that, let me know and come call back again because that is a train trip that is on our bucket list in my household. So I'll get some pointers from you. Mm-hmm. And thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. So the accommodations, you want to have the sleeper car and you want to
have everything. Oh, yeah. I mean, you could get like a roomette. A roomette would have, during the day, seating accommodations, and then at night,
yeah,
they would be berths,
yep,
but they wouldn't be private toilet facilities. They would be, there's a shower and toilet, one per car.
Right.
Okay, but if you get a bedroom, which is, of course, even more expensive,
yep,
then you actually have a private,
yes,
shower and toilet.
You know, have you ever seen that movie where the Grateful Dead and the band and a bunch of acts rented a train and went across Canada?
Yes.
The accommodations didn't look that good.
No.
but in fairness, I couldn't really see it through all the smoke. Good thing it wasn't in smell-o-vision. Ed in Lee, Massachusetts. Ed, you're on.
Hi. I just had a general question of regards to traveler's insurance. When is there a certain limit of your spending where you should purchase it? And then, I mean, you're flying from Massachusetts to Florida. I don't think it's necessary, but is it for when you're going overseas? I mean, especially given all of the cancellations and stuff that are going on with airlines recently, when is it appropriate to do that?
Okay. This is actually a great call. I really love to talk about travel insurance.
Okay.
Okay. So first of all, if you're traveling domestically, the big thing about the travel insurance is how much of your trip is non-refundable. Okay. So for example, you're going to Florida, you're buying an airline ticket, maybe that's $300 round trip, and it's totally non-refundable. And you're worried that one of your elderly relatives might be sick and you might not be able to go, and you don't want to lose the money, and you don't want to wait for a credit. You know, you don't want to have a voucher that you have to use. Then buy the travel insurance. It's going to be proportionate to the amount that you're covering. Unfortunately, the older you get, the more expensive the insurance is, just because of insurance odds and things like that.
Yeah.
The big thing about traveling internationally, again, the non-refundability. So you really want to make sure that your non-refundable portion is covered, especially if you're on an airline that you might not be able to use a credit for. So, for example, you're flying on Air France. And your ticket is non-refundable, and if you don't go, you're going to have a credit that you have to use within a year. But it's only going to be valid on Air France.
Right.
So, you know, you really want to look at that. But the other big thing about traveling internationally is your current health insurance, does that coverage cover you while you're in Europe? That's a huge thing.
I can't believe it would.
Most of the time, it doesn't. Some people have really, really good plans, better than I have, and they are covered. But if it's not covered, then you really want to look at the travel insurance. And there are different plans. You can get one that covers up to $15,000 medical, and there's another one that might cover $100,000 medical. And the other big thing is emergency evacuation.
What?
Let's say you get sick in Brussels, and you want to come home.
Yeah.
But you're sick, so you need a medical evacuation, they call it.
Right.
Where there's actually personnel on the plane. That can be over $500,000.
It's yikes.
Very, very expensive.
$500,000.
Yeah. You do want to make sure that whatever insurance you buy covers emergency evacuation.
Okay. Ed, you want to follow up there, sir?
Well, that's my main question. I work in the insurance industry, so I don't really know that much about traveler's insurance. I mean, I deal mainly with medical insurance.
Right.
So, you know, I was just curious about that. I never knew about emergency evacuation. I didn't know it was that much.
We've actually had people use it.
I figured they just stuck you on the next flight that you came in on. And
not if you need an IV or
really?
You need, yeah.
What, are you going to let you die?
No, but if you'll have to do it and then worry about paying for it.
Well, leave the country is my advice, Ed. Ed, thanks a lot.
But don't go in the first place.
Exactly. Stay here in the good old U.S. of A, buddy. Thank you for the call. You know, in the old TV shows, Gene, you know I watch shows that are mainly from the 50s and 60s and early 70s. Every now and then you see somebody go to an airport and there'd be a vending machine and you could buy life insurance. Do they still sell life insurance at the airports?
They do.
Really?
They do. I have not seen it in a vending machine.
Oh, really?
But you can
maybe
buy.
Maybe I imagine. No, I think that happened in the old days.
In larger airports.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, I don't know if there's an insurance vendor at the Albany County Airport. You know, it doesn't really matter. But at the big airports, you definitely can. There are insurance vendors.
All right. Let's see. For an email here from Ian. We're interested in a Danube River cruise, but hate the idea of eating on the ship or throwing away money. Are there any half-board European river cruises?
Not that I know of. So what you might want to do instead, if the idea is you want to be on a river cruise because you don't want to be packing and unpacking every couple of days as you move along, then you're going to have it as a full board.
Okay. That's
just what it is. And that's one of the pros and cons about river cruises is that you're eating all your meals on board ship.
Is it no good?
No, it's fabulous. but there's something about going to a local restaurant
and
interacting with this charming waiter, and he doesn't understand what you're saying, and it's fun and it's silly, and you know, you're using pantomime, whatever. It's part of the travel experience.
Okay.
However, the food on the river cruises is excellent, and they will change up the menu so that they're serving something that's regionally for that area. That's a cuisine of that area. But no half boards, because you've got to think about it. If they've got a chef and they've got a kitchen, they want to be able to use that.
Yeah.
So you're going to have three meals a day. Now, of course, you don't have to eat there.
Right.
You can choose not to. But most of the river cruises, not all of them, but most of them get you, they leave and cruise at night. So you get back on board ship for dinner.
Yeah.
Have dinner, you know, maybe see a movie, whatever, and then wake up the next morning in the next city. So it's kind of counterintuitive to what the gentleman's talking about, because he wants to eat locally. So
So
what you can do is you can replicate a river cruise. You may still have to change, but maybe not as often. For example, there's a fabulous trip that you can take where you spend like 3 nights in Prague, 3 nights in Vienna, 3 nights in Budapest.
Yeah.
While you're in Budapest, you can take a half-day cruise on the Danube. You know, it doesn't have to be an overnight.
Yeah.
You can see things in each city, and you're only moving every third day. It's not it's not like we're leaving. Now the next day we're leaving. It's not one night in each place.
Yeah.
So you can do something like that.
The commercials make it look like such fun.
Well, absolutely. And it is a lot of fun. They're particularly great for people who have different levels of mobility.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to worry about getting to and from places. And then again, there are people who, there are some river crews that actually specialize in active activities. They have bikes on board.
Ugh.
So that when you get to this town or village, you can go biking along the bike path or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's really something for everybody, but I have not seen something that is a half board.
You know, you just mentioned something that I didn't know, that they do most of the traveling at night. To me, that's a deal breaker, because if I'm going to Europe on a river cruise, I want to see all of these towns and everything along the river.
Well, you will. I mean, they
it's
don't.
It's at night, though. Not, I bring infrared goggles?
I meant for the most part.
Oh, I see.
For the most part. But, you know, you'll be having breakfast and you'll be moving towards the next town.
Or, yeah.
You know, and in the summer, it's light out really late.
That's true.
So as you're eating dinner, you're looking out the window and things like that.
You know, the one cruise we've been talking about, and when I say talking about, I mean it will never happen. But one thing that we'd like to do is a full Mississippi cruise all the way right smack dab in the middle of the country. Ever do that?
I have not, but yes, we've sold that quite a bit.
You get on a riverboat, or what do you do?
You get on a riverboat.
Oh, that's
absolutely.
So cool. With the paddles and everything?
With the paddles and everything.
And a casino on board?
I believe they have a casino on board, a small casino.
All right, now it's getting better. All right, let's go back to the phone. No, let's take a break. Zach, we'll take a break, and then we'll get back to the phones. 800-348-2551. That's the number. Gene Gagnon, that's the person. You can call, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. Gene Gagnon's our guest. It's Travel Today. Gene is the president of Plaza Travel Center, and that's in Latham or Loudonville?
Latham.
Latham. 800-348-2551 is our number. If you have a question, you can email at voxpop@wamc.org. We'll get back to the emails in a moment, but Elaine in Glens Falls has been waiting a few moments. Elaine, go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I have been taking French on the internet, and my granddaughter is a French, she's a French student in high school. Oh. I'd like to take her to the French-speaking parts of Canada for a trip. So I'm thinking, but we also like the woods and the outdoors, so I was hoping we could do like Montreal and then up to Quebec and that way, but I would need some guidance about how to plan such a thing.
Right. Well, it would depend upon the time of year, first of all, that you were going. Montreal, actually, more people consider themselves fluent in French in Montreal than Quebec, which is interesting. But Quebec City, I think, would be the more French immersion, you know, because so much of it is the old city. So that's exactly what I would do if I were you, is I would go up and spend a couple of nights in Montreal. Then you could drive along the river and you could actually stop in a couple of smaller towns on your way to Quebec City. And from Quebec City, there's actually places that you can get into nature more. You know, so but it also depends upon how long you want to go for. So you'd have to really sit down and plan out how long it would get you, you know, that it would take to get from point A to point B and how long you want to stay. There are some also some great family, I say resorts, but they're not exactly, you know, fancy resorts that are on lakes and things like that in French speaking Canada, in Quebec. So, yeah, I think, but you got to plan ahead of time. So, and don't forget the thing about if you're going with, you know, if you're not going with both biological parents, you need that notarized letter from the other biological parent. So don't forget
and
that.
And what age do you not need that?
18.
Okay.
Anything. And you'll need passports or... You'll need passports or enhanced, you know, you've got to be able to cross the border.
Enhanced license, yeah. All right, Elaine.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Good enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Aaron in Greenfield writes, my two parents in their mid-70s, they're able-bodied. My sister and myself, both in our mid-40s, are planning a drive from Western Massachusetts to Niagara Falls in mid-August. The plan is to stay one day on the U.S. side, 2 to 3 days on the Canadian side. Any advice or tips on that? And that's from Aaron in Greenfield.
Yes, Aaron. First of all, it's a long drive out there, so you might want to stop somewhere along the way. You know, in other words, leave early, stop someplace for lunch, and then continue on in the afternoon if you want to break it up. And if you do, there's a fabulous museum in Rochester called the Strong Museum.
Okay.
That's great. So you could stop there if you wanted to. If not, you could stop. You could sort of get off the highway for a little while, maybe stop in Skaney Atlas or that area there that's the wine region.
Yeah.
So you could make it a little bit longer trip if you wanted to by doing that. And then, obviously, you could stay on the U.S. side of the falls. But then definitely you want to go over to the Canadian side.
Because why is that better?
There's something, the falls there make more of a direct drop than on the American side, and they're wider and longer, and you could take the Maid of the Mist from there and go behind.
You can only do that from the Canadian side?
No, I think you can do it from the U.S., but I like the one on the Canadian side.
But once you're on the Maid of the Mist, and I remember going there as a small child, can't you just take the boat to the other side, to the Canadian side?
No. Whatever side you start on, you have to finish on because of passport control.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
And I got to say, granted, I haven't been there for a very long time, but when I was last there, the Canadian side was really breathtaking.
Yeah.
They really put a lot of money into the parks and things like that. And then you also have like Niagara on the Lake is up there, and there's also another winery region. And then if you wanted to, you could come back on the north side. You could go through Toronto and Ottawa. And then come down.
Yeah.
That would make a really nice circle trip so that you weren't repeating the scenery.
If you had enough time.
If you have enough time. Yeah, it all comes down to time and money.
Gene Gagnon is our guest from Plaza Travel. It's 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Phil writes, I'm a Brit now living in the Albany area. When I got back with my American wife, I know that emergency medical treatment will be free in almost all of Europe. Or when I go back. But... And a big but. If you need to be repatriated by air, it could cost a lot of money, plus additional accommodation needed whilst your partner is in the hospital. I always take out insurance that covers that eventuality.
And that's what I was talking about. That's also called, repatriation is also called emergency medical evacuation.
Why are British people always so brilliant? You know, that was a perfect way to play it.
Yes, it was.
This is from Donna. I'm interested in traveling to Italy for an extended experiential kind of thing rather than a quick hit 10-day vacation. I'm currently looking at two scenarios involving both working and not working. If I work, I need a visa, I assume. How difficult is it to get a visa, a work visa, for Italy? I'd like to go in October. This October, I know that my passport is good for 90 days in Europe. Am I out of luck on this? That's from Donna.
Well, Donna, I have to tell you quite honestly, we do not deal in work visas whatsoever. So you will have to, you know, find that information elsewhere. I can't help you with that. October is very, very soon. You're not going to be able to get the best airfare that you normally would be able to get.
Mm-hmm.
It's crowded. But there's many, many places in Italy that you can go to that will be less expensive than the Rome, Florence, Venice.
Yeah.
You know, you could spend some time in Puglia or in parts of Sicily that are less expensive. So really, you really want to research it well, because you don't, the cost of living in some of these cities, like Rome, is like New York City.
Yeah.
You know, unless you live, you know, an hour outside the city. So you really want to do your research and find out about that work visa. And we actually tell people, although some countries are 90 days, we tell people the best thing to do is have a passport that does not expire for at least 6 months after your return date.
Why?
Because most countries have some kind of stipulation. It's either 90 days or six months.
Interesting.
Yeah, they don't want you ending up there and then having your passport expire. And it's more about coming into the U.S.
Aha. Well, now I understand. Right. Gene Gagnon is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Poughkeepsie and Roberta. You're on.
Oh, hi, Gene.
Hi, Roberta.
We listen to you all the time and love everything you say.
Thank you.
My girlfriend and I are great readers. We enjoy a lot of novels that are set in England. And so we have this plan in mind of traveling, landing in London, and then we wanted to see the Cotswolds, go over by Cornwall, and there's never a planned trip that we can come up with. So we were going to try to do something on our own, fly into London, rent a car, look for an Airbnb or a bed and breakfast. Do you have any recommendations for us?
When are you thinking about doing this, Roberta?
Oh, the end of April.
Oh, great, great. Year. Okay, so that's good that you're planning far ahead of time. And you really have to look at how long you can afford to go. Okay, that's a major consideration.
I'm sorry, we were thinking like 10 days. So.
Okay, and the other thing you have to remember is you can't go by days as far as time in a place. So, for example, somebody will say, I want to spend a day in Cornwall. Well, if you really want to spend one full day in Cornwall, you have to be there two nights. Okay?
Okay.
You usually can't check into a hotel until 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Usually have to check out between 10 and 11 a.m. the next day. So if you get to a place at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you've got that afternoon, and then the next morning you're eating breakfast and packing up and leaving.
Yeah.
Not really giving you enough time. So you've got to spend at least two nights in each location to really see it. However, that being said, there are so many things that are close to London that you could possibly just stay in London for most of the time and do day trips. You know what I mean? Unless you really want to, if you really want to experience small town village, then obviously you have to stay there, because otherwise you're coming in, visiting it, maybe having lunch, walking around the charming village, and then going back to London. So there are things like that you want to consider. We don't recommend for European trips. We usually do not recommend Airbnbs, VRBOs, etc., for several reasons. Number one, there is no governing authority that they have to answer to whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you can read reviews until you're blue in the face, but just like TripAdvisor, people have actually been paid to write reviews.
Yeah.
Okay, so you really have to be careful there. Number two, when COVID hit, when the pandemic hit and people had to cancel trips, the people who lost the most money were people who had Airbnbs and VRBOs and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm not talking about B&Bs. That's something different.
Right.
Okay, so that's totally different. The other reason why we don't like them is they actually ruin cities. They are actually bad for cities. Not B&Bs, yeah. Airbnbs.
Okay.
Because, for example, somebody will buy an apartment, rent it out during the summer, and then it's empty in the winter, and that kind of disintegrates the whole community.
Okay.
There's less grocery stores, there's less blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So small hotels, regular B&Bs would be the way you'd want to go.
All right, Roberta, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551. It's Gene Gagnon today. It's travel. And let's go to Albany, New York. Diana, you're on. Not a good start. A little rough. Diana, hello. How you doing? Oh, boy.
Hi, I'm sorry.
Oh, there you are. Okay, yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Recently, we traveled to Italy, and we rented a car. And we were really confused about the insurance because a lot of them have deductibles, and we had heard nightmares about, you know, having fees after the fact. So we ended up spending a lot on the premium insurance, and it ended up costing us twice the amount of the actual rental. So I'm wondering if you could just do insurance.
Yes, yes. But actually, good car insurance when you're in Europe, that's number one, where they make a lot of their money. It's like the drinks in a restaurant, you know, and sometimes it will cost literally twice as much. But you usually want that because they may have a deductible that, let's say on your own car, you might have a $500 deductible. But in Italy, it could be $5,000, you know, a deductible. So you want a zero deductible, no matter what the cost. But if you book it ahead of time, there are consolidators that we use. There are ways we can get packages where you know ahead of time what that collision damage, the zero damage waiver is, what the liability insurance is, things like that. You know, you can actually plan for it ahead of time. But it's something that is expensive, but unfortunately very necessary. That's why I tell people really look carefully if they really want to get a rental car or if they can use trains for any portion of it. And when are you going to pick up the car? So if you're going to be in Rome for 4 nights, don't get the car until you're ready to leave Rome. You know, something like that. So you really have to plan out so that you don't have the car for as much time as you think you may. You have to try to make it as small as possible and look at the public transportation. It might be a much better bet for you.
Diana, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to New Haven, Vermont. And Stephen, hello there.
Hi, Gene.
Hi.
My wife and I are retired. We own a travel trailer. We're planning on going to St. John's, New Brunswick.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering what you could tell us about things to do, seeing the Bay of Fundy, crossing to Newfoundland, et cetera.
Okay. Well, you definitely want to do your research as far as where you can bring the trailer and where you can't bring the trailer. I believe they have national parks just like we do here that some may allow them, some may not. Okay, so you want to do that ahead of time. It's mainly all about the scenery and the ports and the small towns. You might want to make a circle trip around the island. Definitely try to see the actual tide come in and out of Bay of Fundy, and that you can actually go online and find out what the tide schedule is, things like that, because it really is quite breathtaking.
Why is it so special? I mean, tides come in and out everywhere.
It's so deep. It's so fast.
Oh.
It's
interesting.
Yeah, really, really very interesting. So, and it's spectacular. It's just the scenery alone is very, very beautiful. You also want to be very careful what time of year you go, because you have to remember that May through October is hurricane season all up and down the East Coast.
Yeah.
It's not just here. It's not just in Florida. You know, it can happen up there as well. So you really want to be careful what time of year that you go. And I would recommend that you try to reserve any of the spots that you're going to be going to along the way ahead of time. Because, again, post-pandemic travel is very, very busy.
Stephen, you want to follow up real fast?
Thank you. I appreciate your help with that.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Speaking of up that way, Deborah writes in, what's the best way to get to Prince Edward Island from Western Mass?
Oh, gosh. Best way would be to fly from Boston. But if they want to drive, they've got to take the ferry. They've got to go up through through Maine and take the ferry.
A buddy of mine drove up there decades ago and had just a tremendous time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he said it was one of the greatest things.
Yeah, I've got some people going for like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
In August, and that's what they're doing. They're flying up. They're driving up to Maine, taking the ferry.
I bet they have mosquitoes the size of eagles up there. It's got to be insane in the summertime. Yeah,
well, and I don't know what time of year is really the best for the mosquitoes, so you'd want to Google that.
Yeah, doing some mosquito hunting. Right. Aida in Albany, you're on. Oh, you got to turn that radio down there, friend. Or not. Or just obviously hanging in the diner or something. Are you there, Aida? Aida, whatever. You on?
Yes, I'm here. Aida,
you're on. Go.
Yeah. I want to know, I love train travel, and I heard from a train traveler, European, by the way, on our own Amtrak here, that the most beautiful ride is the one from the Swiss Alps to the Italian Alps, to be able to see all that scenery.
Yeah,
is there something?
I would agree. It's one of the most spectacular rail journeys in the world, and you do have to book them ahead of time. They do book up very, very quickly. I tried to get somebody on one particular train travel like 60 days ahead of time, and they were sold out every day, literally sold out every day. So you really, really want to plan.
How do we do that? How do we get it so that we can – my husband and I are retired, and so we –
Well, you want to plan for it. You want to plan for it ahead of time. So at this point, you would want to go maybe next spring, but you can't go too early because of the snows. You're at a very, very high altitude. So, you know, I would say probably early May would be lovely. And you do want to book it ahead of time. If you book it yourself, you're going to have to go online and do it. Or you can call a travel professional.
Aha.
And they will help you.
Yeah, there you go. Aida.
But I heard it's spectacular.
It is.
I lived in Zephyr, and I did all those in our own country. And this person was there. And, you know, it's interesting. They like to travel in the States because our trains are so old and quaint.
Right.
There you go.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call. Okay. Appreciate it. All right, very quickly, an email here from Kay, who says, husband and I are debating whether to go to Patagonia. Seems difficult to plan. Distances, language barrier, et cetera. Earlier this year, I planned a trip to S Island, New Zealand. That's South Island, New Zealand, for a month. Best ever. We are 65 and 67 years old, fairly active. We enjoy hiking, kayaking, good food, etc. Have not ever done a tour trip. If we went that way, we love very small groups. Second choice would be Wales. Any suggestions?
Well, yeah, I think you got to start looking at small group tours.
Yeah.
But you can also plan a trip there in components. So you could do, you know, 2 or 3 nights in Santiago. Then you can fly down further and do two. So you can put little packages together. It doesn't have to be a tour where you're with the same people the whole time, even though that is very, very convenient and probably the best way to do it as far as value for your dollar. But you could do it either way, just like you probably did the South Island. You can do Patagonia that way.
Gene Gagnon, if people want to find you, how do they do that?
Well, they can call me at 518-785-3338.
Yeah.
They can send me an email at Jean, at plazatravel.net. They should also take a peek at my Facebook, the Plaza Travel Center Facebook.
We've got on the Facebook, are you?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, we've got some
exciting,
fabulous pictures.
Oh, good for you. All right. So, and you're probably popping up in all sorts of algorithms, too. So
yes,
that's great.
Absolutely.
Congratulations. All right, Gene Gagnon, thanks for being here. Support comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association, working to help people conserve farmland and forests in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve working land for good forever. agstewardship.org. Barrington Stage Company, Pittsfield, presenting Boing Boing, Boeing, that is, a comedic high-altitude adventure during the swinging 60s, July 17th through August 3rd. Tickets at barringtonstageco.org. Boing! And also Max Farm and Garden, Red Hook. Pet-friendly and filled with collars, leashes, toys, plus treats and foods for fur babies to choose from on Firehouse Lane. Max Farm and Garden World on Facebook. Well, we're done. That's it. Okay, thanks to Gene Gagnon. Thanks to you for calling. Thanks to Zach. Thanks to Andrea for answering the phones. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, more adventures in radio. It's the Science Forum. See you, too.